Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 195 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, this is the biggest week of the year in Iowa during football season. It's Cy-Hawk week, so we're going to take a break from the high school sports for 1 week anyway. My first guest today is a former star running back at Ankeny who went on to become a standout receiver at Iowa. And it was his 81-yard punt return for a touchdown that sealed the Hawkeyes' 17-5 victory over Iowa State in 2008. So he knows all about the Cy-Hawk rivalry. This is the fourth time we've had him on the podcast to talk about the in-state showdown. He is Andy Brodell. Andy, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks, Dan, for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, before we break down the Cy-Hawk game, let's recap week one of the season a little bit. I don't know if you were over there in Iowa City on Saturday for the Hawkeyes opener or if you happened to catch it on TV. You know, but what in the world was that? You know, I didn't see all of it, but the parts of it that I did see, you know, that may have been the ugliest football game I've ever seen.
I totally agree. You didn't miss anything if you didn't see the whole game. I did not go to Iowa City, fortunately. I don't know if I could live with myself if I drove two hours over and 2 hours back to watch that. But yeah, you hit the nail on the head. That was an ugly, ugly offensive football game on both sides, really, frankly. There wasn't really much to be excited about. You know, certainly you like what you saw from our defense, and Torrey Taylor got all the headlines, but boy, outside of that, it was pretty rough. First games are always a little odd, and that's always going to be the case, especially in college. You know, you're dealing with 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. You're sometimes playing on that stage for the first time, and you just don't ever really know. And I'm sure Coach Ferentz probably going down on the sideline. He doesn't know. You know, you'd like to, and every once in a great while you get a team that, you know, everything just clicks, right? But those are so rare. Certainly you wish things would have clicked a little bit quicker and easier for the offense, but that's where they're at. So get back to work and improve, and you got a big one coming up.
Well, I know last year Iowa State had a similar struggle with you and I, and I was at that game, and it just didn't seem like they were opening up the playbook. And like I said, I didn't see enough of the Iowa game to know if they weren't doing that. But and I'm sure if they had their choice and if they controlled things, they wouldn't want to open up the playbook. But right. do you think that was maybe part of the issue at all or not?
I don't. You know, that's always the first thing I think. Well, one of the first things people talk about when a team gets, especially a phase of the game like offense or defense, when they talk about, well, you know, they got off to a slow start. Maybe they're not showing everything because they're too worried about, you know, week two. Maybe that's the case, but I guess I've been around football long enough and been in that room before to know that every game they're just worried about that week and winning, and if that takes their whole playbook, you know, so be it. I think there's something to be said about, you know, week one, maybe they don't have everything installed, you know, that there's a lot that goes in, and certainly even more that goes into an offense than when I played, you know, however many years ago, I guess 14 years ago now. So there, maybe that's part of it, but boy, if you can't execute the basics, you know, the basic install and the things that they had prepared for week one, then, you know, you got to go back and you got to get that all fixed before you think about doing anything else.
Well, there were a bunch of crazy stats from that game. There were 22 punts in the game.
Yep.
And you mentioned Torrey Taylor. He was probably the most valuable player on the field. He had 479 yards in punts, and that was about 200 more than the two teams combined for in offense.
That's
just ridiculous.
Yep.
The Hawkeyes scored 7 points on a field goal and two safeties, which is almost unheard of.
Yep.
And since the 2000 season, FBS teams that averaged less than 2.8 yards per play and scored no touchdowns have only won 3 games out of 374. But ironically, I was one two of those. So
yeah.
I guess the good news for the Hawkeye fans is that they find a way to win even when the offense is that bad. Huh?
Yeah, that's surprising that there's been three, and it's totally ironic that Iowa's got two of those. I think the other one was in 2004. I think I was on that team. That was the co-Big Ten championship team that they won, I think, 6-4. I'm guessing it was
against
that
Penn
game.
State, yeah.
Yeah, they had a couple of safeties in that one, too. But, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, as a fan, and I'm certainly that now, you get aggravated. You know, fans, you cheer when things are going well, and you complain when things aren't going well. And for Iowa, you know, it's the same old formula. You know, it's play sound defense. It's take care of special teams and put a ton of emphasis on that. And offensively, yeah, it's not always sexy. It's don't turn the ball over, run the ball, and good things typically happen. And if you look at how they performed last year, I wouldn't – certainly their offense didn't light the world on fire last year, but they found a way to win 10 games. It works. And, you know, that's I think that's really a testament to Coach Ferentz, and they know what they're doing. He's been there long enough. He should. There's a formula to winning football games. And, you know, I think back, you know, again, looking back at this last weekend of football, I think we got spoiled. You know, we saw the Dublin game, which was the Northwestern Nebraska game, which was entertaining. And then we saw, at least from a Big Ten perspective here, we saw Purdue and Penn State play on Thursday night. And I think Purdue threw the ball 60 times and they lost. So, you know, it was sexy. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Right.
But they didn't win, you know. So I think that's kind of what you have to go back to. And I guess that was kind of what I was telling myself at the end of that game. Like, well, you know, 7-3, it looked awful. There's a lot of question marks, but they got to win. They didn't lose. Not so long ago, they had to block two field goals against U and I to get out of kind of a similar situation. I think they were down in that game late, you know.
Right.
So, you know, it's all relative. There's something to be said about knowing who you are and knowing what can get the job done. And, hey, they excelled at two phases of the game. And guess what? They won because of that. So, you know, hopefully they're not going to get away with that very, very often, though, this year.
Well, I hadn't planned to ask you about this, but you mentioned the Purdue game. Of course, Charlie Jones transferred there, and he had a big game the other night. Yeah. Do you have any insight as to what, you know, did he want to go somewhere else where they would throw the ball a little more?
I mean, I think that's got to be it. You know, and that's sort of the world we live in now, right? With the transfer portal and kids' freedom to be able to do that. And I think he's a graduate, right? So I think he's not even from Indiana. I know Tracy.
Tracy,
the receiver that transferred. I know he kind of went back home. I think Charlie's from Buffalo, so he didn't go for that reason. So I have to assume that he went to go be a part of an offense that not only is he going to play more in, but they're going to open things up a little bit more. And you can't fault a kid for that. I mean, quite honestly, when I went to Iowa, I think a lot of people, well, not maybe a lot of people at the time, but maybe looking back at it, I sort of questioned the decision because, you know, we weren't or have ever been a big passing team.
Right.
But you know, that's just everybody's individual, you know, reasons for going where they go. And, I give the kid a lot of credit. He chose that path, and it's paying off for him, at least on the individual side of things. But like I said, they lost the game.
So, right.
I guess careful what you wish for.
Right. Well, of course, you're a former receiver, and I don't know if any of your former quarterbacks ever struggled like this, you know, certainly not to this extent. But, you know, as you were watching the game on Saturday, I mean, did you think Coach should have pulled Petras?
Well, I can tell you what my friends would say because of the things I was saying in our group message. I mean, we were all frustrated. And, you know, of course, as fans, the first thing you're going to be upset with is the quarterback. You know, we're no different than anybody else. But I think looking back at the game and just being maybe a little bit more open to seeing what was actually going on, I think, you know, our offensive line just had a really rough day. And, yeah, sure, Spencer probably had some throws that he wishes he had back and maybe some decisions that he wishes he had back. But ultimately, you know, we didn't run for over – you know, we ran for, I think, 50, 60 yards. That's not helping your passing game. The pass protect was brutal. You know, these are just things that if you look at any Iowa game over the last 20 years with Coach Ferentz at the helm, I think – it's pretty clear when we struggle throwing the ball and struggle moving it, it's because our O-line play isn't great. So, you know, I think there's probably an answer to most of your questions is right there. And maybe, you know, losing Tyler Linderbaum was a big deal. It was a big deal. We, you know, I guess you don't expect it to be that big of a deal after, you know, returning the other guys. But I think that's probably what they're working on the most over there to get that all figured out, because ultimately if you're Iowa, like we were talking about with them knowing their identity, it's running the football. It's always been that. Like I just mentioned about me going to Iowa and making that decision. I knew that we run the football. That's their identity. So they got to get back to that. And usually good things happen if they can do that.
Well, of course, the Iowa receiving core is depleted as well. Arlen Bruce had a nice game with 5 catches for 68 yards, but I don't think anybody expected him, you know, to be the number one guy this year. And I did see where Brody Brecht has now been elevated to the second team.
Yeah.
So do you think maybe this Saturday might be a chance for him to kind of have a breakout game a little bit?
That'd be great. You know, not all that unsimilar. Not all that unsimilar to what I went through. I think one of my first games I got a really big chance to play was Iowa State my sophomore year. And you know, getting that opportunity in the Cy-Hawk game for a kid that, you know, grew up in Ankeny and grew up kind of seeing the rivalry on both sides, that'd be a cool thing for him, you know. And if you can prove that you can do it on that level, I think you can prove that you can do it on any level. It's a big game, great atmosphere, and I mean, hey, they need playmakers, and I saw him play in high school. I was on the opposing sideline as a coach, so you know, we'll take all the help we can get at this point. But certainly, they've had a lot of attrition already early in the year, which isn't great on that side in that particular position room. So hopefully, somebody can step up and help.
Well, of course, you saw Brody in high school. You know what it takes to play football at that level. Of course, he's trying to play baseball too.
Josh,
I mean, how hard is for somebody to do that?
I couldn't even imagine, to be honest. I had enough trouble just finding the field in football and working things out in the weight room. But, you know, I think that that's just maybe, again, looking, you know, it's been 14, 15 years since I was being recruited. You know, high school athletes have changed so much in just that short amount of time.
Oh, yeah.
They're just more prepared for things. You know, there's all sorts of coaching that goes into youth sports now. And I think that, you know, kids are just, in general, probably, you know, more well-equipped to do that. But, you know, when you have somebody like him that has the talent that he has, I mean, he's got that part of it figured out. Now it's just a matter of, you know, managing those two things, which I can't imagine is easy and probably won't ever be easy. But I wish him luck.
Well, I'm sure the Iowa program has put that first game behind them, so let's go ahead and do that as well, and we'll move on to this Saturday's game. The Hawkeyes have clearly dominated this series in recent years, and going into the season, I would have expected them to win this game, but, you know, now I really have no idea what to expect on Saturday. You know, I don't think I'd be shocked by any outcome. Do you feel like this game is about as much of a toss-up now as it could be?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, it's... I feel like every year I'm here talking to you, or any other year I've talked since playing, it's always such a toss-up because it's so early in the year. And like I was saying, you know, maybe specifically to Iowa, it's so rare that you have that team come out and it just clicks, right? And the same can be said for Iowa State. And so when you have all of that uncertainty, you just kind of, you just try not to expect anything out of it. Now, certainly Iowa's got, I would say, the upper hand. You know, they got the home game. Iowa State's got a, you know, first-year quarterback. Iowa's defense is great, you know, all of that. But, yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, it comes down to who scores the most points. And right now, I wouldn't expect Iowa to score very many points. But we'll see. I think, you know, the other – and that maybe it sounds cliche, but I think the other thing that Coach Ferentz and Iowa's done such an incredible job of is just the overall consistent improvement week to week. And honestly, Iowa State's done the same with Coach Campbell. I think that's definitely been a change from all the previous coaches that they had, where maybe it was a little bit more up and down. And so, you know, maybe it's a race to see who can improve most from week one to week two. And I didn't get a chance to watch really much of the Iowa State game. I don't know much about Southeast Missouri State, but, you know, they did what they were supposed to do in that game, and Iowa didn't do what they were supposed to do in theirs.
Right.
So, I think it's going to be fun. It's just always fun. You never know. You know, I played on teams that we thought there's no chance that these guys – can play with us, and they played with us and then some. So it just that's what you would come to expect from rivalry games, and I don't think this week's going to be any different.
Well, also makes them fun, right?
Exactly. I mean, I want Iowa to win. I went to school there. I graduated from there. I played for the coach that's still there, shockingly. But it's just always been fun for the state. It puts us on the map. I think certainly in the last, especially since, you know, Iowa State started handing us some losses there, it put the rivalry more on a map than it ever had been prior to that. And, you know, even though I think Iowa's got six, did you say six in a row now?
I believe so, yep.
Even though that's the case, all of these games have been really fun and competitive, and like I said, I don't see this week being any different.
Well, Iowa State's defense did give up 320 yards in that first game. You know, so the Cyclones look like they still have some work to do, you know, on that side of the ball. And Iowa obviously likes to run the ball, like you said. And the Hawkeyes have traditionally been pretty successful doing that against Iowa State. You know, but after last Saturday's performance, you know, do you expect the Cyclones to come out and really stack the line and try to make Petrus beat them?
I would assume so, yeah. Especially, like you said, with all the attrition we've had at the receiver position this early. I think that like I said, if Iowa can run the ball, it changes things dramatically. And even last year, I know that Iowa didn't exactly light it up on offense, but they did enough running the football that it opened some things up for Petrus to make some throws, and he made them. I mean, I've been going around and saying for at least the last week and even last year, if Iowa just has, you know, Spencer not turn the ball over, complete the throws that he should complete, right, and then maybe make one or two big throws like he did last year on that post route to Charlie Jones right, right before the half. Or, you know, in the Penn State game, I know the play was open, but he made the throw, right? If he does those things, I think that's pretty much all they're asking him to do. But again, he can't really be in that position unless they're effectively running the ball, at least in some sort of consistent manner. So, yeah, I think Iowa State's going to challenge him there. And, of course, Iowa State's got their hands full, too. They've got a lot of people to replace on a really good defense, right? They had a very veteran defense. And so, sure, I think that's probably why the odds makers have it at whatever, -3.5 or whatever it is.
Right.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what their approach is. But I can't imagine that anybody, including this week, and anybody else on the rest of Iowa's schedule is going to have a different approach. It's going to be stop the run and force them to make plays.
Well, you mentioned that you used to coach over there at Centennial, so you know what it's like to put together a game plan. If you were calling plays for Iowa, you know, can you think of some types of plays or throws that they could go to early to try to get Petras going and give them some confidence?
Sure. I mean, anytime – Iowa's always been – our big play stuff's always been play action. But, again, of course, that's using the run to set it up. But maybe going to that early. It's funny. You know, usually I would honestly say after watching the first game in any other year – I could probably give you a decent idea of maybe some things that, you know, and a lot of average fans could, I think. But honestly, looking at last week's game offensively, I don't know what can work at this point. It was that bad. It really was that bad. And again, it starts up front with the O-line. If they can work out some things there, and I have faith in the, you know, the coaching staff to do that because they've shown that they can do that over the years. But I mean, maybe just get from a confidence level, he needs to get some completions early in the game. So however that you have to do that, if it's a swing pass, if it's something, you know, quick over the middle to Laporta, their tight end, whatever it might be, just getting some rhythm is always a good thing for any quarterback that struggles, and so maybe that's what they'll do.
Well, then on the other side of the ball, you know, the matchup of Iowa's stingy defense against Iowa State's offense, you know, that should be a good one too, I think.
Yeah.
The Cyclones had some pretty impressive performances in their opener. Hunter Deckers passed for nearly 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. Xavier Hutchinson had 3 scores, 128 yards receiving. And Jarrell Brock rushed for 104 yards and a score. You know, but Iowa State has struggled to score against Iowa in the last several meetings. So could you see the Hawkeyes, you know, coming out and shutting them down again?
I mean, I guess I anticipate that. I think most people would. Again, it's kind of hard to say. It's so early in the year, and we haven't been, you know, you've seen them play one team, right? We haven't seen them play two or three teams that kind of do things differently. And based on what South Dakota State tried to do compared to Iowa State, Iowa State's got a lot more weapons than South Dakota State does. And that was, again, it, you know, give credit to Iowa's defense, of course, but I'm sure South Dakota State's offensive coaches aren't exactly happy with how they performed either.
Right.
So, you know, you sort of have to take things with a grain of salt that they're also playing in their first game, and you know, it's a intimidating atmosphere to be in for them too. But I guess, you know, we'll see what exactly happens. But I can't imagine Iowa giving up, you know, more than say 20 points in this game. And traditionally, if they're able to shut teams down to under 20 points, they typically win the game.
Right.
But that's also with an offense. That's also when your punter's not the MVP of the game and they're moving the ball a little bit. So. We'll see what happens.
Well, yeah, I could see Iowa State struggling to move the ball, but then if Iowa goes 3-and-out every time, I mean, at some point that Iowa defense is going to get tired. They just can't be on the field all day.
Exactly. You have to play, you know, and I know they talked about this in the press conference, you have to play complementary football. And, again, if you're really only asking your offense to do some basic things and, you know, move the ball at least one or two first downs every drive, this is stuff that we're – you know, basic goals that we had in the offensive room when I played. You know, this is basic football stuff, but it also is basic, and it also fits what we're trying to do at Iowa. And typically that means, yeah, like I said, get one or two first downs every series. That doesn't mean you score every series because we know we don't score every series.
Right.
But you got to move the ball a little bit, give the defense a rest, obviously change field position. Now, Torrey Taylor is a big part of changing field position too, which is a great asset to have. But to your point, if you're going 3-and-out like that, consistently, I don't know what the weather's going to be like, but I'm sure it's going to be hot down there on the field like it always is the second game of the year. And yeah, I mean, that's certainly something that can happen. We've seen that happen with Iowa teams in the past.
Well, you mentioned Torrey again, and you know how important the special teams can be in a game like this. You know, and that's an area where Iowa, you know, usually excels in, especially against Iowa State. Do you feel like if this is a close game, like many people do expect, that a guy like Tater could be the difference?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think he's putting punting back on the map, like unlike anyone I've seen in years past, which I guess is great for all those specialists out there. It's such an important part of the game that, yeah, it gets overlooked. Again, it's not sexy, and it's something that Iowa's fortunately been able to do well the last however many years. But, yeah, I mean, like I just said, if your offense isn't moving the ball, then if you got a great punter that can pin teams down deep, then, you know, essentially that's as good as getting that first down or two. Again, it goes back to, can the defense hold up? Obviously, they did last week against South Dakota State. I can't imagine that they can get away with that much longer, though. So, as much as I hope that he has another good game, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that punter out there as much as we did last week.
Well, like another big key on Saturday could be the turnovers. If I'm not mistaken, Iowa hasn't had a turnover against the Cyclones in the last 6 or 7 years, and that's been a big reason for their dominance.
Absolutely.
And I don't know how much, you know, luck is involved with turnovers, but don't you think that that trend has to come to an end at some point?
Well, it's got to. Again, after looking at last week, I can't imagine that they're going to keep that trend going. I hope they do, because again, that's just another basic of football. If you don't turn it over, good things happen. But yeah, that's you know, one of the things we always talked about, and I'm sure they still talk about, is just playing smart football, not trying to do too much. You know, again, it goes back to this whole idea I've been talking about of unsexy football, but it's football that wins and it works and it's conservative and all that, but it gets the job done. And quite frankly, if you go back and look at all those games, it seems like the times when Iowa State is trying to make something happen and get back in the game or make a big play, and turnover happens, right? So we'll see. You know, again, last week was so odd in that I think Iowa lost the turnover battle, didn't rush for 100 yards, and still won the game.
Yeah.
It just goes against everything that typically happens in a football game. So maybe I'm just totally thrown off by that last week. I really honestly think
we all were.
But, you know, yeah, it goes without saying. If they're able to protect the ball again, then good things are going to happen. And obviously we've seen that the last 6 years.
Well, Andy, I know if I ask you to pick the game, you're going to pick Iowa because you always have, and you've never been wrong yet on the podcast.
I guess they're.
So I'm sure you won't.
It's all me.
I'm sure you won't veer away from that. So tell me, if Iowa does win, how are they going to win the game?
So I knew. Okay. Well, I thought you were going to ask me for a score. Maybe you're going to do that later. They got to run the ball. I've harped on this already, but they got to run the ball. I'm not too concerned, and I don't think very many people are too concerned with their defense. I think their defense is going to play well. I expect their special teams to play well. But it's going to come down to scoring points. And I'm sorry, but 7 points isn't going to get it done this week. And it's not going to get it done pretty much any other week. So they got to run the ball. That's where it always starts with Iowa. It always starts up front. And then, of course, setting up their play-action pass. And I think, again, getting Spencer some throws early in the game that maybe can get him some confidence. I feel like that's what they tried to do last year in Ames, which was smart. I think they're going to have to try to do that again, Saturday, to really have a chance to get back on track the way that they need their offense to be. But yeah, it's going to start with running the ball. It always does. I'm pretty sure I probably told you that the last 4 years, and typically Iowa's run the ball well, and that's what's been the difference, I think, in these games, aside from obviously not turning it over and playing good in special teams.
Well, I want to ask you for a score because with all these unknowns, who knows what this game will be?
Gosh. Yeah, I'm not an odds maker, that's for sure. And actually, I've been thinking about it today. I was like, you know what? I know he's going to ask me what I think about a score. And I was kicking this around with some buddies over the weekend, too, because I'm friends with a bunch of guys who are Iowa State grads and some guys I went to school with at Iowa. And nobody seems to really have a clue. But the more I'm thinking about it, I really like the fact that the game's at Kinnick. I think that is... that is such a advantage for Iowa when they have a first-year quarterback. And I've seen it firsthand. I think I was at the last – actually, it's kind of crazy that it's been 4 years since they played at Kinnick,
right
with COVID and the whole, you know, the scheduling that was already in place. And I was at the last game in 18, and I can't remember the quarterback. Was it maybe Kyle Kemp? Maybe? I don't know. But he was, I think, playing in his first game – at least on the road like that, in that atmosphere. And Iowa did not exactly play well on offense, but he was just so overwhelmed. And I've seen a lot of games where those guys go in there, and that just seems to be the difference, at least, you know, on the surface, for disrupting what they want to do. Again, it's still going to come back to our offense executing. And I have a feeling there's just there's a little bit too much, in my opinion, seniority on that side of the ball to continue to struggle as poorly as they did last week. You know, say what you will about Petras, but he's a third-year starter. He's been through this before. He's been through this game before. So I like their offense to rebound. You know, I think a lot the popular pick is to take a low-scoring game where, you know, oh, there's going to be a pick six, or, you know, and that'd be the obvious thing, I think, to say.
Right.
And I don't think I was going to light it up by any means, but I think I was kicking this around on the way over here. I'm going to go with 27-13, and I'm going to say Iowa State gets a late touchdown to get to 13, and so that I think Iowa's going to have things under control for most of the game. That last touchdown, you know, kind of makes the score look a little bit better. But
sure.
I think Iowa just has a little bit too much seniority, especially on the defensive side of the ball, whereas that's the flip side, right? Iowa State's got a lot of guys on defense they're trying to replace, and so I think that's probably what the game's going to come down to, and I just think that Iowa's going to get back on track offensively, at least in some manner, to put some points on the board.
Well, that sounds like a high-scoring game to me, and I know the over-under is
right
about 40, and a lot of people love that under, but I've seen enough football games where, like you mentioned, if somebody gets a pick six or a kickoff return for a touchdown, if one team gets way behind, then maybe the other team plays prevent defense and they come back. I mean, it could be a 27-20 game. I don't know.
Who knows? You know, that's they don't pay me. Like I said, I'm not an odds maker. That's not my job, but that's my opinion, and I'm gonna stick with it.
Well, it should be fun. I'm going to be over. Are you going to be over there on Saturday?
No, I'm not. I've actually got a 7-month pregnant wife at home, and we're still trying to prep for some baby stuff, and that's a hard sell anytime, honestly, to drive 2 hours over, 2 hours back, you know, and sit out in the sun. But that's part of my excuse. But we'll be watching it, and I'll be cheering the Hawkeyes on. But like I said, just looking forward to an entertaining game. It's always so much fun. Every year to obviously sit down with you and discuss it, but the Cy-Hawk rivalry is something that's healthy, and I hope it doesn't go away. You know, I know that they've talked about that with all this realignment and everything, and that would be such a shame. So I think that both sides can agree, whether you're a Cyclone or a Hawkeye, that it's a game that needs to stick, and let's just hope for another good game and a Hawkeye win.
Well, hey, good luck with the baby, and thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate
it. Thank you very much. Appreciate
it, Dan. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, a vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office. Call 515-964-5952. Or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my other guest tonight is a former standout defensive lineman at Iowa State who is now the head football coach at North Polk. The Comets have opened the season with back-to-back wins over Dallas Center, Grimes, and Pella. And this Friday, North Polk will play at 8 a.m. He is Tim Tebring. Tim, thanks for joining me again. How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having us.
Hey, you bet. Well, this is the second time I've had you on the podcast to preview the Cy-Hawk game, and we'll get to that game here in a minute. But first, I just wanted to ask you about your North Polk team. You've got to be pleased with the 2-0 start. Do you feel like your team made a lot of progress from week one to week two?
Yeah, the biggest thing we focused on summer, preseason, and from week one to week two is how consistent could we be with what we do practice-wise, with how we run the ball defensively, how we execute on O, and we made some good jumps. You know, DCG gave us a really good game, tough game, and we were down by four with about 4 or 5 minutes left. We were able to get a drive together and score with 2 minutes left in the game to go up by three, and then our defense held, and it was a good test for us, and they played a heck of a game, and we're glad to come out on top.
Well, obviously, both Iowa and Iowa State are going to be looking to improve as well from week one to week two. And just based on what happened last week, you know, it does appear that the Hawkeyes have more room for growth at this point, you know, after that tougher-than-expected win over South Dakota State on Saturday. Now, were you at the Cyclones game, or did you get a chance to watch either of the games on TV?
I did. I watched the Iowa State game in person. We went down there and watched it. And I'm fortunate enough to have some end zone tickets, and I like that view to watch it. And felt like they looked good. You know, I don't know what kind of competition, you know, SEMO was compared to South Dakota State, but it was fun to watch those new players play. You know, Deckers can, from my perspective, it looks like he spins the ball pretty darn well off his hand, and he can just rifle it in there. And young guys on defense got to the ball, they tackled, there was, you know, they gave up more yards than they probably cared to, but they played hard and they got the win.
Well, as a coach, I know you'll take a win no matter how you get it, but all wins certainly aren't the same. You know, if you go back to last year, Iowa State was not particularly impressive in that season opener. They had a 16-10 win over UNI, and then the following week, you know, the Cyclones were favored to beat Iowa, but of course that didn't turn out so well. They lost 27-17. So do you feel better about this year's Iowa State team following Saturday's game, or is it still too hard to read too much into a win like that over SEMO?
It really is. I mean, especially when you're going to week two right into a rivalry game, you know, you throw all the old scores out the window and you throw out what happened last year, and it's about two teams going off to play each other. You know, the really cool thing was that I saw on Twitter today or last night that the number of Iowa players from the state of Iowa on both rosters. And it's a ton of guys, and so it means a lot to both sides. Iowa didn't get the results that they probably wanted. They got the win, but in a rivalry game, I think anything can happen.
Well, you mentioned Hunter Deckers, and of course he came into the season as kind of an unknown commodity, but I think people close to the program were kind of excited about his potential. You know, from what you've seen, I mean, it looks like he's got all the physical tools, doesn't he?
He does. He's tall in the pocket. He's got a cannon for arm, and he's from Northwest Iowa where I grew up, and so my dad has, you know, mentioned numerous times about him in high school, and you saw what he did at his high school and all the state things that he did with his team, so you're really excited to see what he could do. Plus, we got a little bit of a preview of him last year at a couple times in a couple different games where he got to play, and he looked the part. And I saw an interview with Coach Campbell talking about there's no accident what he's doing. I mean, him and Xavier Hutchinson, it sounds like they've been working together and really getting after it.
One with Hutchinson and Jarrell Brock with the kind of game that he had. I mean, he's got some playmakers to work with, doesn't he?
He does. You know, Jarrell Brock's just kind of impatiently waiting his time. In the day and age of college football, where a kid might not get a chance, they might be gone, for Jarrell Brock to continue to work, to get better, to earn his time, he's definitely earned it, and he looked good on Saturday.
Well, if you went to the Iowa State game, you probably didn't get a chance to see much, if any, of the Iowa game, but how surprised were you by, you know, the outcome in that one?
A little surprised. I mean, I've followed South Dakota State for a while. I've had a family member, a cousin of mine, play tight end there years ago. They're a good program. They're tough. They play hard. It was surprising to see that score. My brother-in-law is an Iowa fan, and so he was at the game with us, and so he was inside watching quite a bit of the game, and he kind of kept me up to date a little bit. And you don't see a score of 7-3 very often with no touchdowns.
Right. Well, let's break down the Cy-Hawk game then. Now, will you be going over to Kinnick on Saturday, or do you have plans to watch it somewhere else?
We'll watch it at home. I think that's a better place for me to be.
Yeah. Well, you must have played in Kinnick once or twice in your career. You know, for the young guys on the Iowa State roster, you know, somebody like Deckers, who has never started a game in an environment like that, you know, do you think he'll be able to handle the crowd noise and everything that goes along with it?
I think so. It's a rivalry game. It's, you know, over in Iowa City, the stadium is like an Oklahoma's or like a Texas. It's loud. It's rowdy. The fans are going to be on top of you. And it's just, but it's a fun environment to play in. 2002, we played down there. That was kind of my first year of playing quite a bit. And, you know, we quite frankly did not play very well in the first half. And we had that second half comeback. And that's kind of, you know, a game that I'll always remember. It was a big one for me. And I got the opportunity to have 15 seconds of fame and make a play, force a fumble and recover it. And that's all history. That's 20 years ago. I'm too old to do it now, but you'll never forget playing there. It's fun, it's exciting, and it's even better walking out of there with a win.
Well, as an Iowa State fan, that was one of the few times I've been over there for the game, you know, in the stands, and I know I enjoyed that game. That's one that I'll never forget, too. I mean, just what a great comeback. I remember going into the bathroom at halftime, you know, you guys were behind 24-7, and I was getting some crap from some Hawkeye fans. I probably had a shirt on or something that said Iowa State. But you got the last laugh, didn't you?
Yeah, well, a little bit. I just remember our halftime speech from Coach Mack. That's usually the first thing I bring up when I see him. Is talking about I made the mistake of standing by the door, and when I was the first guy that Coach Mack saw, and he was definitely fired up at halftime. He got us fired up, and it was motivating, and we went out and just kind of chipped away at that lead that they had, and we were able to get the win.
Well, Iowa State racked up 469 total yards on Saturday, but of course the Cyclones are going to be facing a different animal this week in Iowa's defense, you know, which basically won the game for the Hawkeyes on Saturday. Now, the Cyclones have had some trouble scoring points in Kinnick the last few times they've played over there. Do you think they'll be able to move the ball against that defense? And how many points do you think they can put up?
I don't know. I know the one stat that stands out in my mind is the fact that in the last 6 years, Iowa State has had zero turnovers forced. And so I think Iowa's like +8 or +13 mm-hmm. in that span. And so how many points they score, you know, the biggest thing is, can we not have any turnovers? And, you know, with that defense that Iowa has and their punter that they have, that's a dangerous weapon. So if we're going to score points, we're going to have to be able to sustain long drives, because more than likely that punter is going to be able to pin us in deep like he did last Saturday against South Dakota State. And it, no matter what, field position is going to make a big difference. You know, I love a 17-10, 13-10 ball game. I know maybe fans in this day and age want to see more scoring than that, but
right.
I don't mind a defensive battle, but it's going to be tough.
Well, I know the over-under on the game is like 40 or 40.5, but you know, I'm not sure either of these teams can get to 20 points. If one of them can, boy, they'd have to feel really good about their chances to win, wouldn't they?
I think so. I think getting to 20, you would have to feel really good about it.
On the other side of the ball, you know, you have Iowa struggling offense against an Iowa State defense that only allowed 10 points to SEMO, but they did give up 320 yards. You know, I honestly don't know what to expect from Spencer Petras and the Hawkeyes offense on Saturday, but, you know, I can't imagine that they'll play as poorly as they did in the opener. I mean, how do you see that matchup?
I see them coming out and playing their best. And quite honestly, if you're a realistic fan of either side, you want to see the best out of both teams, because you want to be able to beat the team at their best so that there's – You know it. And so, you know, I would expect Iowa's offense to come out sharp, crisp, run the ball, play action, you know, things that they've always hung their hat on. They love their slant zone or their outside zone where they're going outside. And then if they get that working, then their play action stuff starts working, and then throws start getting open to tight ends and fullbacks. And, you know, that's the typical Iowa that you would expect to see. And quite honestly, Iowa State's defense is going to have to be able to handle their line up front. You know, our linebackers are younger. We got some new faces there that it'll be interesting to see how they hold up. And our secondary at time looks pretty darn good on Saturday, and hopefully they look good again this Saturday.
Well, as a coach, I'm sure you could sympathize with Kirk Ferentz, you know, in the dilemma that he faced last Saturday, you know, when Petras was struggling so much, you know, but if he's the guy that's proven over again in practice that he's your best quarterback, you know, it's got to be hard to pull him. Have you ever found yourself in that situation at North Polk where you had to think about maybe pulling a guy?
Yeah, I mean, every day, what the normal fan doesn't realize is we see them day in and day out. You know, Coach Ferentz and their staff and Coach Campbell and the Iowa State staff, they're watching these guys nonstop all the time. And they're going to be watching to see if, you know, who's going to give us the best advantage on game day. And if Iowa feels that Petras is the guy, then you got to go with him and trust that the coaches are putting the right people out on the field. It's not easy as a coach to yank anybody. Right now, we got a unique situation where we're rotating two quarterbacks. They're both juniors. And at times they both make plays, and at times they make mistakes. And right now the two system is working for us. But the 3 years before that, we were a one quarterback program where one guy had the responsibility to do the job. And that's the one position that's kind of hard to roll in and out. But right now we've been making it work this year. In years past, I don't know if it would work for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know a lot of Iowa fans were calling for Alex Padilla on Saturday. And obviously if Petras struggles again on Saturday, especially if they get behind, I would think maybe Kirk wouldn't have a choice, that he might have to make a change.
You never know. That's where I leave it up to the professionals. I'll enjoy the game, and I'll cheer for our guys, and I'll let the coaches coach.
Well, you mentioned that the turnover situation, too, where Iowa State hasn't forced one, you know, here in all these years. Do you think they can win the game without forcing one?
It's tougher. No turnovers on either side, I think that's definitely a win for Iowa State. But if you get, you know, if you lose the turnover battle against Iowa, you're just putting yourself in a hole, because field position becomes such a big thing. And if Iowa State's gonna have a chance to win, you know, getting one for sure, getting two possibly is gonna have to be the objective.
Well, Tim, I know you'll be rooting for the Cyclones, and I'm sure you'd pick them to win if I asked you to pick a winner. So what do you think is gonna have to happen? You just mentioned the turnovers, but what is gonna have to happen for them to come out with a W?
I think Iowa State's gotta have a couple big plays. You know, obviously getting Hutchinson going in the passing game, establish a running game against a tough Iowa front is gonna be crucial. If Iowa State can get to 17. And if their defense can play well, you know, a 17-13, a 17-10 ball game, I think, is realistic.
And Iowa's a team you don't want to get behind either, right? Because with that defense, they can just kind of sit on it and just...
Yep. You know, there's nothing wrong with a punt if the punt is pinning them deep. And it's smart football. And even though fans may not like it, it's part of the game. It used to be a bigger part of the game. And as a defensive guy, I don't mind seeing a defensive battle.
Well, it should be a fun one. I'm looking forward to it. Well, Tim, enjoy the game, and thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you having me.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Andy Brodell and Tim Tebrink to break down the Cy-Hawk game. I really enjoyed the conversation with those two guys. It's the second year in a row that we've had those two gentlemen on the podcast. And looking forward to the game on Saturday. I'm going to be over there on the field for this one. Should be a lot of fun. Hope we have a great game. I'm not going to make any predictions because I really don't know what to expect. But anyway, come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.